What's up? Say Jesus. Jesus. That was 10 years ago yesterday that we had our first service at San Diego State. A lot of y'all were still in junior high. How many of y'all were in junior high 10 years ago? Elementary school. Anybody elementary? Look at all. Are you really in elementary school 10 years ago? Oh, my goodness. We had rocks to give all of you today, but we ran out. So here's what we're going to do. And actually, we're giving people when they left because we didn't want to have them when they were in here when I was speaking. Because I'm only messing with you. We did really give them when they left, but I don't know why they did that. But we're going to have them for you next week. We're going to get some more. We'll have them for you next week. Okay? So I think there's only 200 left. So we just ran. There's 200 left. So 200 of you may get some, but we want you to get a rock. And by the way, when you get the rock, we want you to pray for the rock. And the rock is all of us. Amen? It's not the building, it's not me, it's all of us. We want to pray that God would do in our lives and through us what he had planned. Listen, today is 10 years, and it has gone by very fast. And I want to thank a few people really quick. I want to thank and have all you help thank with me. One, the staff of the church. We got an incredible staff that do an incredible work here. Amen. And if you see any of them, just you thank them. They do a whole lot more than you know, will ever know. And also the volunteers of this church that just do an incredible job as well. And if you've been coming here for any length of time, you know that all of us need to be volunteers. It's not like those are the volunteers and those are the staff and I just come. It really should, all of us should be ministering somewhere. Y'all know that. Amen? Amen. So we're trying to get you in. If you're reading the book, do something. Hopefully God's stirring your heart to do something soon, because we got a lot of work to do. We have another video I want to show you, but before I do, I just want to explain to you what we're going to do today. We started this church literally 10 years ago yesterday at San Diego State. We had three services, one in the morning, two at night. We grew to five services at San Diego State. We went to another place. We had six services there. Then we came here, and we're going to show you a lot of video of all of that. We bought this building. We found this building 9 years ago, and it was 6 years to get in it, 6.5 years to get in it. So it was a long process. But over that time, and now looking back on it, God has given me these two words. What if? You know, what if we were more aggressive? What if I had more faith, or I was a better leader or a better pastor or a better dad? What if all of you did more, gave more, served more, prayed more? What if we were more strategic and we worked together more efficiently? There's a lot of things we could have done different. And as we look back on the last 10 years, I'm going to want you to ask that question about your life, because all of you, if you look back on your last 10 years, you could say, what if? Can I get an amen? And some of y'all are so young that, matter of fact, how many people here are teenagers? Raise your hand. Okay, so 10 years ago, you were just being born, okay? Yeah, you're just coming out of your diapers, so you really didn't make a lot of decisions. They were made for you. But in your next 10 years, you're going to make decisions. And what I want to do today is we're going to look back on our history, because a lot of y'all are new. You don't know what's going on for the last 10 years. But the reason we're going to look back, one, we want to celebrate it. But we also want to be clear about what God has done and use that as a foundation of what he may do in the future. For example, there's some of you in here that you have always had this thing to help kids, but you really never paid attention to it. But every time you help kids, you feel energized. Well, maybe that God wants you to do that for the future. Some of you may have like math, and you never really paid attention. Math may be your deal. Medicine may be your deal. God may have blessed you when you teach, but you really never paid attention. Well, maybe in the future, you need to become a teacher. The reason I'm saying all this is because for us as a church, we are not here just to have services. We are here to fulfill a mission. And when we look back on the last 10 years and see how God has blessed, it gives us a really clear, somewhat clear picture of where we're going to go in the future. Now, today we have three questions we're going to answer, because over the next month, we're going to put a time capsule together and ask you to put your answers to these questions in a time capsule that we're going to hold for 10 years. And in 10 years, we're going to open a time capsule, and you're going to read or hear yourself say to yourself the answer to these questions. Number one, and we'll look at these later. I'm just going to give them to you. They're in your lesson plan, but we're going to look at it later. Number one, what if, everyone say what if? What if you make a faith-based commitment and you fulfill it? In other words, you say, for the next 10 years, I'm going to do this, and you really did it. What does that look like? You should describe yourself. We'll talk about this more later. Number two, what if you challenge someone else to make and fulfill a faith-based commitment? You help them. You disciple someone. You invest your life into someone. How many of y'all are married, by the way? How many of y'all are married? Very good. Dang. How many of y'all are single? Dogs up in the house. All y'all who married, you know how valuable an hour with someone who's single is as a couple? Even if your marriage is you could say, here's what you don't do. What if all of y'all decided, you know, I'm going to invest in somebody? The Bible says to make disciples. That includes all of us. We need to make disciples. The third question is, what if Jesus comes back before 10 years is up? What would you say to someone left behind? We're going to put all that, if you participate, in a time capsule that's going to be there. And in 10 years, 2020, right there on the right, 2020, we'll open it up. And so we're going to watch a video, and then we're going to go over some stuff that has happened. I want you to think about that, and then we're going to look at those questions a little later. So check out the video and enjoy it.
Ready? Are y'all ready for tonight? Word. See your pen. Let's plan. In other words, you realize that what's been controlling you has been beating you down and destroying your life and lying and manipulating. And then sometime you come in your life, you say, I'm tired of what's controlling me. The hero is Jesus. We got a picture of Jesus. The hero is Jesus, and the villain is Satan.
Maybe you baptized to show my public acknowledgement of Christ in my life.
So getting baptized is part of that transition to a new life with the Lord.
Thanks, God, for everything you've done in my life, and this is for you.
Dear God,
woo!
I know I'm a sinner.
I know my sin is wrong.
But I believe Jesus loves me. I believe he died, rose from the dead, for me. God wants to give you the ability and the opportunity to do things, see things, dream things that you never thought possible. You need to pray and obey one step at a time, because all the drama in your life, here's why Jesus is so amazing. He's already working on it. Obey him.
The conditional use permit includes renovation of the existing building 94 and establishment of a private school at the site, which would include pre-kindergarten through grade 12. Also incorporated into the project would be a 3,500 square feet auditorium and sanctuary area that would be used for school, church, and accessory activities.
We're going to vote on this now. Please vote. That passes unanimously.
Says that God has a plan for your life already mapped out. That is so much better than what you could ever imagine for yourself.
The project is an existing building at NTC, known as building number 94. It's almost a quarter of a million square feet. The NTC site itself is a 361-acre site located in the Peninsula Community Plan area. It's bounded by Lindbergh Field, MCRD, Litton Street, and Rose Creek. You may recall the project went through a lengthy planning process, and at the end of that planning process, we had an established NTC precise plan and local health department.
You gave money, and we bought a building. And we're constructing a ministry space in Souls Every Saint. And I want you to see it that way, that you did not give your money away, you invested in people's lives.
That passes unanimously.
The grand opening of its new facility in Liberty Station today, with hundreds of its members pouring in to attend the ribbon cutting ceremony. Take a look. The church currently draws in 8,000 parishioners each weekend.
There's no biblical standard of here's what going to church should be like. When people come here, they are going to experience God.
Right now, I'm entering to the lobby, and as you know, this will be the first place people enter when they come to the church, so it's very critical. It's very comfortable. And it's going to be an amazing space. It'll be 40 feet wide, 180 feet long, and 2 and 3 stories high. There'll be an atrium all the way up to skylights in the ceiling. This whole side of the building will be the sanctuary, so all the people will come out of the church this way and walk down the hall to the food court, which will be down at that end to the right. That's facing Rosecrans. And on this side right here, we'll have Pebbles Pathway, have all the children in church. This is going to be a beautiful place to fellowship. Now I'm standing in a hallway that's going to be our cafe area. This hallway is 150 feet long, and this entire wall to your right is going to come out, which will make the hallway 30 feet wide to a glass wall that will go to outside. This space will be huge, and it'll be for us eating on Sunday and all during the week. Now we're going to walk into a kitchen that's going to be our food court and bookstore.
Amen. Now we're here today. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bibles tonight. One more time. Let's say, whoa. Let's see your pens.
Lesson plan.
Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll deal with our lesson plan in a little while. We got to just look at a few things. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20. During your life, there will be verses in the Bible that become more special to you than others, some that you hold on to, that you go to when you're discouraged or you just need a little lift. This is one of those verses that I hold on to all the time. It says in verse 20, "Glory belongs to God whose power is at work in us. By this power, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine." Let me say it one more time. Glory belongs to God whose power is at work in us. And by this power, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Everyone say infinitely. Say ask or imagine. I think I was telling you this about 5 weeks ago, that God has given all of us the ability to imagine, to see and dream and think of ideas that are bigger than us. And one of the reasons he's given us that ability is because he can do even beyond that. And he wants us to be able to imagine things that are beyond ourselves. And whatever you can imagine for yourself, God says, I can do infinitely more than that. And so today I want to encourage you as we look at our history and what God has done, and then when we give you a glimpse into the future of what God could do if he continues at the same rate of ministry that he's done here, what that looks like. And it's going to look like something out of unrealistic. But I want you to be challenging yourself to ask yourself, what could my life be like in 10 years? Because I'm going to tell you, if I'm the devil, which I'm not, My plan for your life, girls, to get you pregnant, get you a disease, have you get a disease, have you sleep with as many guys as you can and tear your self-esteem down. Get some of y'all addicted to drugs, you guys addicted to pornography. I'm going to mess you up as much as I can before you get into your 20s. And so when you get married, you have a messed up marriage, and then that messed up dysfunction goes to your kids, and then it goes to their kids. That's my goal. That's what the devil does all the time. And when you're young, going through what you're going through, doing what you think a lot of kids are doing, let me rephrase that, what a lot of kids are doing, he's messing them, scarring them all up. Christ can undo that, but he's going to try to scar you as deep as he can, as early as possible, so it sticks for the rest of your life. What God wants to do is undo that, spiritually heal you and restore you, and then say, here's what I want to do in your life, something way beyond what you could ask or imagine. So we're just going to show you a little history, then we'll get back to our lesson plan. Our first ministry fair, you've seen our ministry fairs out here. We'll have all these booths, and this whole street will be full of people. Our first ministry fair was like five tables. That was it right there. That was, I don't even know what year that was, probably, 2001 or 2002. We had a few tables. We had a few people out there signed up for ministry. Our Pebbles Pathway, there it was. There was Pebbles. And the woman who started Pebbles has passed away. She had cancer, but she was just a beast. She was a warrior. We found this building in 2001, February 15, 2001. This building was a military school, no windows. It's the size of Noah's Ark, literally. This building is 444 feet long, 45 feet high, three stories. Noah's Ark is three stories, 45 feet high, and 450 feet long, 6 feet longer. That's the size of Noah's Ark. And Noah built his ark. This building was built to train man for human wars. Now we're using it to train man for God's wars. Then we had our fundraiser. We raised $14 million to get this building. We collected $17 million. We had a Brick Lane ceremony at Cox Arena, San Diego State Campus. It was a great day to collect pledges that day. Then we hired a guy named Benjamin Cashman. How many of y'all remember Benjamin Cashman? Now, Benjamin Cashman is a financial consultant. He actually, we were his first job. I kind of met him. I can't remember where I met him, but he had just started out in his financial consulting business. And so we gave him an opportunity. He worked with us for 3 years, helped us raise money. Now he's traveling all over the world consulting other churches. And he's going to come back. Cool brother. We have a little highlight film of some of the stuff he did. So let's play that film. There's Benjamin right there.
Action.
Hello, rock. Hello, rock. Hello, rock, 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 rock. Hello, rock. Church. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, I had turkey every day. I gained about 40 pounds, and I'm so looking forward to the fast. Hello, rock church. This is Benjamin Cash. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Hello, rock church. I got my uniform on. Every year I put this on because I look so good. I'm on my way to see Jesus to give him his birthday present. Holla, 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 holla,
holla. So, Benjamin Cashman, his name is all about money to Benjamins and Cashman. His wife's name is Penny. His son is 50 Cent. And he has a daughter. Her name is Daddy. Can I have $300? We had our CUP use permit hearing downtown, which was a great day. If we didn't get our permit, we couldn't use the building. So that was a big milestone for us, getting that permit. I don't know if we have a picture. Let's see if we got the picture. Okay, so that's my wife, right? So my wife, the reason my wife was mad like that. Remember I tell you my wife does this like this? This is how she when she's mad, she just does it like that. Because she didn't like my head. She was waiting for my hair to grow back. She didn't care about the permit. She was like, you just need to grow your hair back. So I had cut my hair and said I wasn't going to grow my hair until we got our permit. And so that day, I was like, Lord. So anyway, we got the permit, so I was a really happy brother. We moved into Ruffin Road. How many of y'all were in Ruffin Road? Amen. We moved into Ruffin Road. We were getting that permit for that building at the same time we were doing this building. And then we had, there's That was over by Arrow Drive, right up the street from the stadium. Then we had a ribbon cutting. And our first service, we had 14,000 people. Then we had the fires. Were y'all involved in the fires? What happened with the fires, in 2007, San Diego was burning down. 500,000 people got evacuated. So we opened up this building to be an evacuation center. We didn't have one biscuit. We didn't have one, I don't know what that is. Different. We didn't have one cot, nothing. So we had 2,000 people come here to volunteer. We had cars wrapped around the building for 13 hours. We had food, clothes, filling up all these rooms. We had Chinese food, Mexican food, black food, white food, yellow food, and no evacuees. There was nobody here. So we went out and recruited people to come. We got 122 elderly people. There they go. They came here. There was like 122 elderly people from 67 years old to 92. And they were coming here all on their walkers, their oxygen tanks. And they were from a Christian convalescent home. So we hosted them. It was so much fun. We didn't have elderly people here. So they were all in one room. And I went down because I wanted to see elderly people in our building. And they were just so sweet. And one guy said, I want to watch the World Series. So that day, Cox Cable was during the fires. Cox Cable put cable in this room, and they watched the World Series right here, like five people in this front of this whole screen. It was the bomb. We turned up the volume. Their hair was going back like this. And but it was literally, if someone said, what was your favorite week of this of being a pastor of this church, it was that week of that ministering to all the people who came and stayed here. We had 300-something people stay here. There was a woman in the convalescent home that was here. And I had asked them what they do at the convalescent home for fun. They play shuffleboard is one of the things they do. So I said, who's your number one shuffleboard player? And this lady says, I am. And I said, I'm going to come by when we get out of here, and I'm going to whoop you. She says, no, you're not. No, you're not. So we went by and played a shuffleboard, two out of three. Anybody ever here play shuffleboard? I never played no shuffleboard. So she won one. I won one. Then it came down to the third game, to the last shuffle. And she, I don't know how old she was, but, you know, she was pushing it. And so I said, I was trying to get in her head because I didn't want to lose to this old lady. And she's like, you're making me nervous. I'm sweating. And I beat her. It would have been cheating if I would have let her win, right? I had to give my best, so. Open up your lesson plan. Three questions. In 10 years, how many of y'all are going to be under 30 in 10 years? Still, okay. That means that all y'all who are going to be under 30 in 10 years, you are going to finish college, go through college, hopefully get a job, maybe get engaged, and maybe have kids all in that 10 years. That's a lot of change. It's a lot of change. You will, in that time, realize and learn what life is really all about. You don't know anything right now. Nothing. Can I get an amen from everybody else? Amen. Nothing. Now, the rest of y'all who are saying amen, you don't know nothing either. No, I'm kidding. But in 10 years, a lot's going to happen. I'm going to be 50 at the end of March, and my wife and I keep talking about, we've been talking about this for a long time. I'm going to be 60 in 10 years. My wife's already 50. She's a little older than me. She's a cougar. Wow. You know, how many of y'all don't know what a cougar is? Raise your hand if you don't know what a cougar is. Cougar is an older woman who goes for a younger guy, and that's what a cougar is. Cool. And really, usually usually the gap's a lot bigger to classify it as a cougar, but, you know, but I was just minding my business. I was a kid walking down the street, and I'm walking down the street minding my business, and I hear this purring in the bushes. It's like, in the bushes. I'm like, what's going on? It's just reached out and just pulled me in. That's how it happened. That's how it happened. In 10 years, Y'all have to think about, do I want to have a goal that is God ordained for my next 10 years? Or do I just want to, let's see what happens? Do I want to have a goal and at least something I want to accomplish? Personally, there's several things I'm going to write down, but one of the things I want to do is I want to speak Spanish. So in 2020, when we have our 20th year, that we have our 20th year celebration at Petco Park, and I'll be able to speak Spanish 5-10 minutes in it. That's just personally, I always want to speak Spanish. There's some goals that you have. Some of you always want to lose weight. You get on a diet, you get off diet, get off diet, get off diet, get on diet, off, and then you get back on. You're going to work out, you're not going to work out. You're going to get good grades, you start out your semester really good, then you stop and you end up getting, your bad grades at the end of the semester. At some point, you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to be disciplined and I'm going to be obedient. So 10 years, look what it says in your notes. What if I make and fulfill a faith-based commitment? Describe who you want to be in 10 years. And again, we're going to ask you to go to our website and give us your answer on and put it in a time capsule. You can put it in there anonymously. You can put it there confidential with no one to see it. However you want, you'll see it when you get there. The other thing is, what if I challenge others to fulfill a faith-based commitment? It doesn't matter how old or young you are. You can help somebody. You can mentor a little kid. There was a young girl here today. She was probably about 10, and she was here with her mentor, and the little girl, 10, wants to work in pole dance. How she knows about what that is another mystery. That's what she wants to do, and they were asking me to talk to her to tell her why that's not a good thing. For her, a girl that young, to want to know what that is and want to do it. What has this world come to? Is that God would give you a vision that is beyond you, and that is something that God would say, now that is a faith commitment. That's a little girl right there. Luckily, she has a mentor that's helping her think through those things. There are a lot of little kids out there, the devil's got them. The devil's got them. Now, God can set them free, but he ain't going to do it just because. We got to get in their life. So what if you invested your life into someone's life? All y'all who are married, hey, you can mentor a couple. That's dating. Because all y'all who are dating, marriage and dating almost have nothing to do with each other. I say almost, okay? When you see somebody and you're sneaking around doing your little McNasty here and there, and you're doing all your thing, and you're having your fun, and you get to go home where your parents are paying for everything, and it's a whole different deal when you're together every day. It is not the same thing. It's not. Can I get amen from all the parents? It's work. It's work. Now, it's the work God designed it to be. But my point is this, is that for all y'all who are married, to help some of these youngins understand that. And I would encourage all you youngins to get advice. And you think, well, it's different from me. No, it's not. It's not different for you. It's just not. You're just like everybody else. Now, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means get some counsel, get mentored and or mentor somebody else. At least have a conversation. Number three, what if Jesus comes back before 10 years is up? What would you say to those left behind? Wouldn't it be cool if you did this video or wrote down something, but be better if it's a video, and Jesus comes back and someone opens his time capsule and there you are talking to them. And they're like, what happened? You go, hey, I want to talk to y'all who are left behind. Let me tell you who Jesus is and what he did for my life. And let me tell you why I'm not there with you. And let me tell you how to get to come where I'm at. This year, I'm going to start planning my funeral because I want to preach at my funeral. Now, I'm sure someone else will preach, but I want to preach. I want to jab the devil one more time before I go. Actually, I would have been gone, but I want to get him one more time. If you answer that question, especially via video, you're getting the devil one more time. Because you're going to be long gone, and people are going to be seeing that, and they want to see regular people talking about Jesus Christ in a powerful way. Now, what we're going to do now is I was going to give you some numbers about what God has done in this church, and here's the reason why. We need to understand as a group what God has done here so we can understand what he might do in the future. Are you following me? I'm going to put it in this way. If you made $50,000 for 5 years, you would expect that in the next 5 years, you would make more than that. Can I get amen? And if you made 50, 60, 70, you would expect 80, 90, 100 at some point. Are you following me? That's all we're going to do. This is not about number. This is not about money. This is about people. So we're going to look at what God has done with people in this church. And we're going to look at what he could do if he keeps going. And by the way, if he keeps going at the same rate, he doesn't have to speed up. Same rate. And when you see what he can do, you're going to go, oh, man, that ain't going to happen. Well, we don't want you around. No, we need to say, God, we believe you for that. And we're going to figure out how you want us to do it, okay? Are you with me? Let's look at the numbers. Number one, we went from give or take 3,000 people to the first day to 13,000 right now, give or take. It's around 400% growth. It's a little more. We're just doing conservative. So 4 times 3 is 12. So it's a little. We've grown a little more than that. But that's just what he's done. That's historic. That's just fact, okay? 615,000 hours worth $2.6 million. We did that last year. It's in the bank. We did it. One staff, 3 church plants, 1 location, 1 continent. That's where we're in. That's where we're at. Are you following me? In 10 years. Now, let me put this in perspective, because people who are in the church world know how that don't happen. There's only 40 churches in the United States over 10,000 people. And a lot of those churches are 20, 30 years old. We did it in 8 years. We were 10,000 a couple years ago. And so God, now, it's not Miles McPherson at all. It's God, Jesus Christ. Everyone say, Jesus. So we're here together looking at what Christ is doing, saying, okay, God, what do you want to do? That's what you did, so what do you want to keep doing? So if that's the first 10 years, here's the big question. Say, what if? What if God said, I just want to keep going at the same pace? We don't need to speed up. That's conservative. Let's just keep going at the same pace. Look what happens. 13,000 at 400% becomes 52,000. Now, I'm not saying we're going to grow to 52,000. I'm just telling you what the numbers say. Now, we can all say, well, we're not going to do that. We're just going to shut it down and just kind of stay right here. Not. I'm sitting looking at that going, okay, God, are you trying to say something? He says, well, you know, don't stop me. We're just getting going. We had 10 years of doing all that he did to build a foundation. Imagine a rocket ship. He built the rocket ship. He's put the fuel in it. Now he's getting ready to take it off. That's what this is about. Are you following me? So 13,000, where we're at, goes to 52,000. What's the next number? 615,000 hours goes to 2.4 million hours of volunteer service in 1 year. And by the way, that 615,000 hours was worth $2.6 million. Now we're talking $10 million a year in volunteer service. Are you following me? That's if we just keep going and not get complacent and not get satisfied and not get lazy and shut it down. We're going to say, no, God, we're just going to keep doing what you've been doing. Keep sharing our faith. Keep going out there serving. Keep starting ministries. Keep coming with new ideas. And all that requires is you to do what God calls you to do. That's it. That's it. That's all we got to do. What's the next one? One location, one continent. We would love to have 21 satellite services on 7 continents around the world. What that means is that they would have a staff of people, and the service would be via video, just like you're watching video right now, except it would be on a different location. That doesn't include the 100 churches that we want to plant with their own pastor in that time frame as well. 100 of y'all to start churches all around the world. We got Impact 195. The school was starting this month in March. We have 75 students in the day class starting in March for 9 months, and then in the night class starting in March 9 months. And I don't know how many they got signed up. I know they got some spaces. You can just go check it out. Right out in the lobby, Impact 195. 195 countries we want to impact. That's what that's about. What's the next one? One staff, we need multiple staffs. Can't do it. We got to multiply. We got to hire people who can leverage people. The Bible says that he has chosen some to be prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors so you can equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The people on staff are not the people doing the ministry. They're equipping others to do the ministry. That's their ministry. So we want to hire people and put them all over the world to impact the world. That's what we want to do. Because we are not going to sit here and go, okay, we made it, because there is no such thing as that. Being successful in the kingdom of God is being obedient. That's it. Is that it? That's the last slide. Oh, 26 festivals. The Miles Ahead Festivals want to pay off this building. Debt-free. Can I get an amen on that? All the money to pay off the building we already have. It's just in your pocket.
Ushers, please come forward for the offering.
So here's what I'm going to say to you. Are those all my slides? Is that it? That's all my slides? Here's what I want to say to you. Is that when I left the church I was at before I came here to start this church, it was a Horizon in Claremont, and I was talking to the pastor, and he said, what can I do for you? Mike McIntosh said, what can I do for you? And I said, Mike, I just want to be friends because God is going to do something. I just know it. God, not me. This has been way over my head. It has been very difficult at times. I've wanted to quit many times. I knew I never would, but it's been very difficult, very overwhelming at times. And, of course, the greatest times of my life as well. And all the emotions in between, because it's up here. That's what makes it exciting. I remember being right over here in Point Loma when I was talking to someone on our board. I can't remember who it was, and he says, the building's now going to be $35 million. And I stopped on the side of the road, and I was like just panicked. And I called a board member after that, and he says, Miles, God knew that you were going to get this phone call today. This is not a surprise to him. So you got to go for it, because I was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to afford it. It ended up being 50-something million. It kept going up. But the point is, God is going to put you in water too deep for you to swim in. That's when you have to trust him. And so there's no question we want to trust him to swim in that deep water. We're not going to play it safe. We're going to go for it. And so we are challenging you to join us in that. Some of you are already on board. Some of y'all are ahead of us. But there's a lot of you out there that you need to say, you know what, I want to be part of it. Now, if you say, I want to move out of town, listen, we want to send you out of town. I had a guy come to me this morning. He lives in Washington State. He watches on the podcast every week. Matter of fact, he watches the weekly podcast. Then he's going back every week. He looks at former services. He's back in 2007. He's looking at all the services from before. He wants to be a pastor. He wants to start a ministry up there. So my prayer is that God will give you a vision for what God wants you to do. What God wants you to do, not what I want you to do. And here's, as a matter of fact, I want to show you a graphic of what it would look like. I'm going to show you a picture. Okay, so that's us in San Diego. And those concentric circles are us doing something in the community. We're going to send people all over the world, and those concentric circles are not only the churches, they're doing something, and then they're sending out other churches. That's y'all. 7 continents all around the world. And through technology, the internet, you can get to every home. We can do that today. Boom. Now, I don't know what the technology is going to be like in 10 years. How many of y'all remember Star Wars where Princess CP3, what's that guy's name? That little brother, and he beamed out the little Princess Leia? RD2. That guy. What do I know? By the way, how many of y'all, watch this. How many of y'all were not born when the first Star Wars came out? When did it come out? That answers my question. I think it was 1975. Do you even know what Star Wars is? Do you? Do you know? What is it? R2-D2, you know who that is? Do you know who CP3PO is? No, this is our CP3PO is my guy. Just make stuff up if you're wrong. Do you remember when he beamed out Princess Leia? She was like that big? And, is Princess Leia here? No. She was like that big, and she said, I don't know what she said. Oh, the Force is coming. She kind of ran and blew up, whatever, whatever she did. I'm delirious. Imagine if 7 years from now, this is, I mean, I guess anything's possible, that you can open up your phone or some little device, and when you're talking to somebody, instead of talking to them on the phone, you could see them. You just, like, your mother, she's like, boop, she's like that big. And she's doing this to you, and you're like, Mom, I'm making it, you be quiet. But imagine if that's true, and we could have church all over the world, almost virtually, almost real. We don't know what that's going to be, but I tell you, it's not going to be what we have today. And so here's my challenge to you. Is that you would think about, God, what do you want to do in my life? Even if it's an academic thing, I want to be a doctor. Some of you, you want to be, but you don't believe you can, go for it. A lawyer, I talked to a young lady today, and she's 22. She goes to state. She's going to graduate. She got an offer to go to Montana to get a master's and a PhD. They're going to pay her, give her a job, and hook her up. And she's not wanting to leave home, but she feels like she should go. And I was like, girl, you should go. You should go. In 5 years, it'll go by like that. You'll be 27, got your PhD, be snapping in three circles, doing whatever you want to do. If you stay here, you're going to be stuck. And so when I'm talking about what God wants you to do, God is involved in, whether it be an academic, whether it be a business thing, whether it be a relationship, God is involved in all of that. It's not only a ministry thing. Some of y'all in relationships right now, you know, are never going to work. Get out. Some of you are taking classes, you know you're never going to do that major or get a job. Don't waste your daddy's money. Do something different. I know these people, go to USC, they spend $40,000 a year, and then they work at Starbucks. Yeah, they graduate, you go to Starbucks. So where'd you go to school? I went to USC, I graduated, spent $160,000, now I'm at Starbucks. And her dad wants to kill her. But my point is, ask God what he wants you to do. Ask God what he wants you to do. And then write that down. And say, God, I want to do this. I feel like you want me to do this. And I want to go for it for 10 years. We're not going anywhere as long as God doesn't want us to go anywhere. And we want to be serving this community in a powerful way. We don't want to just be having church services. You saw the earthquakes and the tsunamis and all that kind of stuff going on. We have our disaster coming. It's coming. And we don't want to be the church where all y'all saying, Rock Church, help me. No, we want to equip you so when it happens, your neighbors are calling on you to get help. That you're helping them. Because it may not be a Rock Church. You may not be able to get here. You want to be already equipped to not only help your neighbors with food, water, and all that stuff, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. So that's my challenge to you. Next week, we're going to finish our Do Something series, and then we'll have a quiz the week after that. Hopefully, y'all are enjoying the book. Are y'all reading the book, Do Something? Amen? Amen. Tell your friends to go get one. Tell your friends to go get one. We want to get people out there doing something. If you haven't gotten a book, go get a book in the bookstore, Do Something book. I'm going to tell you this last story, then we're going to go. A friend of mine was going to high school in Mexico City. He obviously was from Mexico. He was in a movie theater by himself. Nobody was in the theater. This man walks in the theater and sits in his row, five or six seats down. The man moves one seat closer to my friend. He's a little guy. He said, that's kind of creepy. Man moved another seat closer. Creep, creep. Man moved another seat closer. And he said, if the man moves one more seat closer, I'm getting up and running out. The man moved another seat closer, he got up and ran out. The man chased him. This is a true story. Some of the other stuff I tell you. You just got to pray about how you know whether it's true or not. He runs into the lobby of the movie theater, into the bathroom. The man chases him in the bathroom. He jumps in a stall. The man runs past the stall. He runs out the stall, runs out through the lobby, out into the street, into Mexico City, in Mexico City, in the city. Walks, runs out, jumps under a car, and he can see the guy's feet going by. He can't find him. He never got him. Some of y'all are running from the man. It's your perception of yourself, or people's gossip, or criticism, or what you fear, or your sense of failure. I want to encourage you to stop running. The devil's lying to you. Stop running. Turn around. punch him in the mouth. Here's how you punch him in the mouth. Is you say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to do whatever you want me to do, even though that guy's yelling at me. Even though that guy's chasing me. I know that he who's in me is greater than he who's in the world. And so, Lord, I'm going to be obedient for 10 years. I'm going to talk about this next week, 10-year thing. And I'm going to keep reminding you because I want you to submit your ideas on the website and put it in the time capsule. But I want you to think about your 10 years. Some of y'all who are 18, you're going to be 28. You're almost 30. Oh, you're old. You better be getting your cane. But I want you to be thinking about that because God, because if you put something out there and you have a goal, the chances are of you hitting it a whole lot better than if you never put it out there. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Oh, by the way, the cantinas are here next week. Amen.